Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And wouldn't you know it, eventually it had to happen. Friday the 13th. It has to happen eventually. And here it is. Friday, September the 13th. I'll tell you this, if I were Donald, I'd go hide somewhere. Instead, he's out saying things that are even worse than ever, and all it's going to do is get him what Friday the 13th gets all kinds of bad people. It probably gets bad stuff for good people, too. You have to be careful. Don't walk under any ladders. Don't go near any black cats. But you know what? All that's magic. And the point is, Donald's going to need more than magic to come out of this one in one piece. I listened to him this afternoon, and really it was an accident. I didn't even know he would be speaking this afternoon. And there he was on the TV, right in front of my eyes, turned up the sound in my classroom, and we listened. That is, the students and I listened. And Donald went into this idiotic, I don't even know what to call it, some kind of a harangue attack against California and San Francisco. Now, of course, if you're on Donald's side, then you're thinking, well, California and San Francisco, how could you be worse than that? Okay, it's just, you know, stereotypes, guys, and you don't know what you're talking about because California is actually the fourth largest economy on the planet. Listen to what I just said. Now, Donald didn't say any of this. Donald said it's a failing state and the city of San Francisco has been destroyed by radical leftists. Now, I will say this. I am a radical leftist. What that means, well, that's another story. Somebody will have to figure that out. But I am a radical leftist. I certainly describe myself as that. And San Francisco is one of the great cities on the planet. And by the way, if you're going by any kind of monetary measurement, you know that there's a place in San Francisco where the median monthly mortgage for a house is $28,000 per month. $28,000 per month. Now, that's not because of something bad. That's because of something good. I mean, the interest rates on that deal were pretty low. And it's just a fact that the people who live in this area are enormously wealthy. And they have homes valued well into the millions. Well into the million. Not like a million or two. Like 30, 40, 50 million. These are wealthy people. How do you get to be wealthy in America? Well, you don't go to the president or the dictator or some crazy person that thinks they're king and have it turned over to you. No, what you do is you build a company, or you go to work for one of the great companies and you make enormous amounts of money. You buy multi-million dollar houses. And then you have a giant monthly mortgage. But with the income you've got, it doesn't mean anything. Now, it's true that if you're just a poor worker making $200,000-$300,000 per year, well, you're not going to be able to afford that. But there are places for you. You're going to get taken care of. You're going to live okay. $200,000-$500,000 a year. Yeah, in California, people make that money. And they actually produce things. And they make very good money. And then they pay large amounts of money for their homes. And that's okay. They buy boats. They do all kinds of things. They have a nice life. I wouldn't need that kind of money. You know, $500,000 a year? Nah, that's not necessary. You know, regular people can, well, I don't even want to say it because you'll think it's too much. But look, here's the thing. Radical leftists in America can make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with it. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a capitalistic country, and you go make a lot of money. Now, if you're in San Francisco, you make a lot of money, and you live sort of a exceptional life from a monetary standpoint. And maybe that's good, and maybe it's not. But all these people aren't paupers living in the street. And California is not falling off the edge of the earth. In fact, like I said, fourth largest economy in the world. Now, you understand that Russia has a gross domestic product of $1 trillion. And that's where Donald has his capital. That's where his leader resides in Russia. That's where his strings are pulled. But I'm just saying that for some of us, you know, radical leftist capitalists, you know, we go out and we make good money, live with our families, take care of the groceries. And when the prices go up 2%, we're okay. We can handle that 2%. Of course, it's 2.5% right now. But, you know, 2.5, 2, it's all about the same. We can handle it. Groceries, actually, were up 1% last year. 1%. And see, here's the point. You know, I did this radio show this afternoon, and my students listened, and they watched me lay out fact after fact after fact, while the other guy, you know, a Trumper, all he did is call names. In a nice kind of way, actually. I mean, it wasn't mean. It was just factless. No facts. So, you know, I pointed out there's a difference between Earth 1 and Earth 2, and we can just live with it. Come November, Donald will lose the election, and then he'll claim that he won, and then we'll have a fight over that, because Donald will say that it was rigged, and he'll try to get it thrown into the House of Representatives so that he can somehow get elected when he's not. It won't work, and that'll be the end of Donald Trump at 78 years old. He won't be back running at 82, and this will be the end of the sort of resurrection of Joe McCarthy, because that's all he is. Donald Trump is Joe McCarthy too. And he's going to go right back to where Joe McCarthy is, on the ash heap of history. That's where they both belong, and that's where they both will be. In the meantime, Kamala Harris will inspire this country to great things. Now, I'll admit, there's a little bit of a scary thing going on out here. And we've been dealing with this for a couple of years. And that is that Vladimir Putin is once again threatening that he's going to blow everybody up. But, you know, he's threatening to annihilate the United States. And the problem is, he can't annihilate the United States without annihilating himself. So if he wants to commit suicide, well, he could do that. But he's going to have to get some buy-in from a lot of people who are hanging around with him, people who have families, people who have any relative that they want to survive, people who have aspirations in life. Now, maybe their aspirations are to be a dictator like Vladimir. Maybe. But they're not going to be anything if Vladimir starts pushing buttons. So I'm just telling you, it's pretty obvious how all that's going to end. It's going to end with people getting him under control. Now, Donald says that he can end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. And that's true. He can. All he has to do as President of the United States is say, we support Vladimir Putin and Zelensky. You can go take a hike. And if you don't do it fast, you're going to end up in Siberia. See, so they can do that. So I'm just saying, but it's all in somebody's imagination, because that's not going to happen. Because what's going to happen is very simple. Donald's going to lose. He's going to scream. He's going to throw a fit. Then, depending on how far he goes, he might find himself in jail, or he might be allowed to stay out of jail long enough to be tried in courtrooms all over the country for all the crimes that he's already committed. And then he'll go to jail. And I have to say, I have sort of a standing bet with some friends. They're all right-wing crazies. And our arrangement is this. When Donald is assigned to a jail cell, I will buy a van. I don't mean buy, but rent. I'll rent a van, and we'll get a TV crew, because these are all media people, and we'll all go to Rikers, and we'll interview Donald in jail. And if they don't let us in, we can still stand outside and just sort of make it like, you know, if you would go to the zoo and see the animals in the zoo. So that, and then we'd have to just interview ourselves. But trust me, we're all going to be at that jail. And we're going to be visiting the president of the Prisoners Association, Donald J. Trump. End of story. Donald's in so much trouble. And people on Earth One understand this completely. They know. They realize how much trouble he's in. They know how this is going to end. It's going to end really badly for Donald. Now, on the other hand, I know Donald today has to be a very happy man. He's probably going to bed tonight very excited because he doesn't care about how bad he looks in the election. But he is happy because his stock went up $2 a share. That's $200 million. Not bad. Well, actually, I lied. It went up $4 a share, which is a little over $400 million, and then dropped $2 a share and finished, you know, $2 off the high, $2 off the low, sort of right in the middle. And I know that Donald thinks that he at least has a chance because his stock showed some life for a day. Hello, Jeffrey. Well, it's nice to see you out there, Jeffrey. That's a good thing. And just so you know, there's actually call-ins on this show. And if you're interested, because I'd love to have you on here, if you're interested, you can call 314-471-1968, and you'll be on the air with me. No, I know you're alive, Jeffrey. I know you're alive. In fact, I've seen a number of things that you're doing out there that, you know, sort of sound good. I'm not surprised. No, I have high hopes for things that you might do. And like I say, you know, call in if you like at 314-471-1968. And if you don't, I won't say who you are. And if you do, I could say who you are if you want to say who you are. Or I can just say Jeffrey. It's up to you. You decide. Maybe another time. Absolutely. I get trying to stay low key. That's cool. No, I gotcha. But I am glad to see you there, and we should get together sometime. We should do that. And if you stay around for another half hour, you'll get to hear some Trump, pro-Trump people that I put on every once a week, and they listen to what I have to say, and then they tell me why I'm wrong. But we'll see. I say Trump is sunk, but these Trump people, friends of mine, they're very nice. And that's another thing. You know, I have lots of Trump friends, lots of them. And they know what I think. They know I think they're crazy. And they think I'm crazy. And that's all fine. And we can still like each other. Yeah, I know. It's impossible to listen to, Michael. I get it. But you know what? Given the fact that they're losers, and I don't mean personally, but I mean they're hanging around Donald J. Trump, who's a loser. Well, so we can live with that. I don't think anybody on Earth One believes that Donald Trump can win this election. This is not like Hillary. In fact, Hillary said it's not like Hillary. It really isn't. This is far crazier. And we've already gone through 4 years of this nutcase. And now he's out there telling everybody how California is going off the cliff and San Francisco is one of the worst cities in the United States. Only problem is, as usual, the facts are completely wrong. Fourth largest economy on the planet. And San Francisco is just a phenomenally successful city with successful people making enormous amounts of money. And the fact that they're all educated and somewhat leftists, well, that's a good thing. That's the way it's supposed to be. So Jeffrey's question, how can you trust a leader who's a habitual liar? Well, easy answer to that one, Jeffrey. They don't think anything he's saying is a lie. I talked to people the last couple of days. First of all, they actually believe that Democrats are killing their children after they're born. Jeffrey, Michael, everybody else, I promise you, they believe that Democrats kill their children after they're born. So that's the first thing. So habitual liar? No. As far as they're concerned, this man's telling the truth. Now, that's just one thing. How about a better one? Donald says, and this is just beyond lunacy, that the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, are eating cats and dogs, and that if you have cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio, you better do something because they're coming to get your pets. Now, we all know that's not happening. First of all, Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, Republican, says it's not happening. It's not true. The city manager in Springfield says it's not true. Not happening. But I did this program this afternoon. Good buddy of mine, Trumper. And he said that he saw the Haitians on television stealing the geese. That's another one of Donald's stories. And the point is, it's not happening. And my response was, maybe Donald is running around Springfield, Ohio, stealing geese, but not Haitians. And in any case, you know, all of this is a way of saying one thing. One word over and over. Black, 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 black. That's all this is about. This is a way of flashing a sign. Black. So that all the white racists in America can go to vote for Donald. But the problem is, there are fewer and fewer of those white racists to go and vote for Donald. And the other part is that if there are other white racists out there, maybe, they don't want to vote for Donald because there are other reasons that they might be against him. Not the least of which is that he could rape your wife or children or sister. And that's only part of it, too. This guy's a dangerous man. He's crazy. What are we even allowing him out on the street for? That's a good question for Mark to ask his Trump guests. Well, Michael, they don't think he's a liar. They think that we are, as my brothers like to say, DeLulu. See, they think we're DeLulu. It's very simple. But, you know, as I also said today when I was on the radio show earlier, this country is on fire for Kamala Harris. Not Kamala. Kamala. You know, the fact that he does that is pretty pathetic in itself. He insists on saying Kamala when he knows it's Kamala. Michael, you didn't know that they think that immigrants are eating pets? Well, I guess you learned something today. I'm glad you were here. I can't believe anybody doesn't know this story. They say that immigrants are eating your pets. But look, how's that any worse? In fact, it isn't. It's not worse than what they said about Hillary, because if you remember, they said that Hillary was eating children in the basement of the Pizza Palace. So, this is just an extension of all of this. I don't know where this comes from. somebody's got a serious problem. There's no doubt about that. Well, anyhow, San Francisco is not falling off the edge of the planet, and California is a far bigger economy than Russia, which is, you know, with $1 trillion is nowhere. As John McCain said, it is a gas station with an army. And that's the truth. And now Joe Biden is taking the next step, which is he says that Zelensky should take our missiles, and if he wants to shoot them into Russia, he can shoot them further into Russia. And Putin says, you better be careful. You keep doing this, we're going to let loose those nuclear weapons. I believe he might want to do it, but I also believe that there's somebody standing next to him who either wants to live tomorrow or would like their family to live tomorrow. There's somebody like that there. And you know what they did to Hitler, at least what they tried to do. Anyway, I would not think that the Russians are going to be too excited if Vladimir says, look, tomorrow, September the 14th, we're all going to commit suicide. I just doubt that's going to play well with those people. But listen, here's the deal. I'm going to quickly do some business here because I don't want my guests to wait too long on the side at all. So I've got one in there, Amy, and then I know that Jim will be right behind her. And so I don't want them waiting. So I'm going to say that, no, I get it, Amy, but that's all right. I'm just that way. You know, radical leftist, anti-Trumpers. You know, we care. We love you. You know, I'm from California myself. Lived 2 years in San Francisco before it became a dirty, nasty city, which, of course, it isn't. But Donald said it is today because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, but here's what I know, and this is a fact. You cannot have a better dinner tonight than going to Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield or Airport Road, and they've got wings, and they've got smoked meat, and they've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts and pizza, really good pizza. And they've got great salads, terrific drinks. And believe me, after you eat the onion rings and the baby back ribs, you'll know where you want to eat all the time. And that's Wendy's, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And another Wendy's, the Wendy's Roadhouse. Well, just down the road a little bit, 2999 South Highway 94 in Defiance, Missouri. Great food, same great Wendy's food and environment. And that's in Defiance. Eat it both. They're both great. Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, you want to go to 4506 Hampton, and that's in St. Louis, and you will love what you find there. Cases and cases filled with jewelry. Some designed by my friend Al. Some bought by my friend Al from people where they were making deals. But overall, it's just a great place for jewelry. You'll love it. And I can tell you as well that they fix watches. They're experts when it comes to fixing watches. And like I say, they buy and sell jewelry and coins. Great prices because they love the public. That's Jules on Hampton. Now, the clothing that I'm wearing right now all comes from the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, which has been there for 30 years. They've got shoes and shirts and suits and overcoats. And let me tell you, the ties are the best. $5 for a tie that looks like 50. Everybody loves the St. Louis Suit Company. I mentioned the other day that I was with Freeman Jr., and he was talking about my nice clothes. And I said, oh, well, I go to the St. Louis Suit Company. He goes, oh, I go there too. He said, oh, that is great. They are the best. Okay, so that's the story. St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. And don't forget, they're amazing when it comes to wedding. They do provide wedding attire, and they'll tell you exactly what to do to make your wedding go perfectly. That is the St. Louis Suit Company, 30 years in Clayton. They'll probably be there another 30 when Donald is, well, I don't want to be morbid, so we'll leave that alone. Okay, Amy and Jim, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
I am great.
Doing great, Mark.
Yeah.
Glad to see you. You look a lot better than that accident sounded.
Well, you saw the accident, the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you think anybody in that car would be alive?
No.
No, no, no. So it's sort of miraculous that I am. I mean, I was banged around, but, you know, that's better than the alternative.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amy's shaking her head and smiling. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, yeah, that alternative is that's a killer. That's bad. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you two, after the thumping that Donald took this week, how do you feel?
Great.
So my honest opinion is that Donald did lose his composure a few times, but in his defense, if you were dealing with the stress he's dealing with, I would think you would too. I don't feel as if the moderators, especially David, was quite the moderator, because moderators moderate. They don't, I really feel like that whole thing was just very biased. And
fact checking.
Never fact check. How many times did they fact check Kamala?
Four times. It was all Donald.
And how many lies did they calculate on our side? I think it was like 107.
Who told 107?
Kamala.
No, you don't believe that, do you?
I didn't count them myself, but that was from a solid someone I trust.
Yeah, Newsmax.
Not Newsmax, but definitely maybe not one of the sites that you follow, but
yeah, not the Wall Street Journal.
No.
Okay.
Mark, can I ask you?
Go ahead.
Do you think she told one lie?
Well, my cousin Michael says that that there was a review of what she did, and the fact checkers claim that she told one thing that wasn't true. Now, I don't know if you call that a lie. Maybe she just didn't know. But at any rate, one thing. Donald, every time he opened his mouth, he was lying.
What stood out to you the most? What did he say that stood out the most, may I ask?
I would say two things.
Okay.
One is that Democrats kill their children after they're born, which, of course, never happens. So that
has happened, absolutely.
It has happened.
Yeah. Well, listen. If anybody who's done that would be prosecuted and goes to jail. I mean, you're not allowed to kill your children after they're born.
it's happened recently.
But unfortunately, Mark, your side says they're not children.
Oh, no. Oh,
they
no.
They are.
When they're born, they're children.
Right. However, in certain situations that have occurred, and I'm in the medical field, so I can promise you this is accurate.
Okay.
There are situations where women who do not know that they are pregnant have gone into abortion clinics after finding out at a very late stage in their pregnancy. There are situations where babies have been born during those abortions. And what happens, unfortunately, and you can fact check this if you'd like, those babies are left to starve to death. Now, to be very honest with you, obviously I'm a woman and I have been in situations in my life and I have visited an abortion clinic, and I can tell you with 100% certainty, there are absolutely are places in this country where you can get a third trimester abortion, and if that baby is born alive, it is left to itself. The mother is rolled out of the room and the baby is left to itself. I'm not against abortion. I am not a far right. I'm not far right. Okay. And I'm not totally against abortion. I am against certain term. I am against second and third trimester abortions. I don't know if any of you understand what an abortion is, but as that fetus begins to grow within the woman's womb, when they are too big to just simply be pulled out, while that fetus is has feelings. It has feelings. Its nervous system is intact and it has feelings. They rip it apart and then crush the skull. That baby feels every last bit of that after a certain gestational period. So anyone that's for abortion, I implore you to please read into it. And you know, I'm not against women's rights. I think a woman has a right to choose. However, we as women have to be responsible for our actions. And if you do not want to get pregnant, do what you need to do to not get pregnant. But if it happens, whether it's an accident or a woman for whatever reason finds herself in a position where she didn't ask for this to happen and an abortion is her only alternative, I absolutely agree with that. And we know Trump agrees with that, too.
I could talk to you, but don't, anytime you bring up Trump, you can forget it, because let me tell you don't know what he believes. And I believe that if Trump heard you and saw he met you and you said, you know, Donald, I've been a supporter of you for a long time, and I think you're a good guy. I do believe that he would laugh and spit in your eye. But, you know, that's just my belief. But, you know, I think you're a sincere person. I think Jim is, too. I know that Donald isn't.
How do I get him?
And here's the thing. I know that he owes New York $500. Jim had to jump off. He had some kids, I think, pulling at him. Sure he'll be right back. But anyway, you know, he owes New York $500 million because he defrauded insurance companies and banks. And so, you know, he's a liar. And we also know that he raped.
Are you talking about in reference to his bankruptcies?
No, we're talking about his lying to banks and insurance companies in New York. Found guilty, and he has to pay $500 million. Now, he owes $90 million because he raped E. Jean Carroll. And that's the thing that always gets me, because you know that he raped E. Jean Carroll, right?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Do you know that the court said that he raped E. Jean Carroll?
In the criminal court, they said he didn't.
I think
No. He was never found innocent of anything. No. He didn't go to a criminal court because it was beyond the statute of limitations. But the only court that reviewed anything was the one that said you got to pay $90 million because you can't keep your mouth shut because you did rape the lady. But okay, go ahead.
How many guys did she say that about?
No, say it a different way. How many women say that Donald raped them? And the answer is 19.
And how many guys did she say that about?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of celebrities that are...
I mean, that's what she makes a living. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, that's okay. I just think that we have to consider the fact that a lot of wealthy men and women and celebrities, they get themselves in these positions where it's easy for these wish hunts. You know, you've got a lot of people that just do things for money. And I'm not in any way shaming anyone. If you have ever had any type of assault.
There you go. That's right.
I would not. But I will tell you this. I also have witnessed people lie about situations because they're ashamed of what they've done. And there are a lot of men in this world that will tell you they are innocent, that women just get mad at them. And listen, I get it. Some women, you know, some women can be nasty too. And when there's a big payday at the end of that accusation, it's very plausible that a lot of these women are just for the money. So it's very difficult to believe anyone in these situations.
Okay, but you're saying plausible. And so let's say it's plausible. But the problem is, in the United States of America, when you go to court, we as citizens accept the results of our courts. We just, that's what we do.
I used to have a lot of faith in our judicial system, but I think it's flawed in some areas and we don't always get it right. And I do believe that Donald Trump, being one of the most important and influential men in this country, if not world, would absolutely be under the microscope. And a lot of these accusations probably are not true. Do I know that for a fact? No. Do you? No, nobody does. Only him and the accuser.
But the courts, are the way that we adjudicate all disputes in America.
But we've seen the court this year. It was just absolutely ridiculous. I don't trust anything in these courts anymore, especially when they're going after their favorite target. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It was a liberal judge. It was in a liberal state. I mean, it was, come on, man. They were going after him. Go ahead.
It's stacked. I agree with you. I think it's definitely stacked against him. I do believe that we have a huge oligarchy in our system that's making it easier for the Democratic side to throw these accusations at Donald Trump and hope they stick.
Well, let me ask you this one. If you found out tomorrow there was some way to discern this, mm-hmm. which we know there isn't, but let's say there were a way that you found out that Donald did all of these things that we say he did, what would you think?
If 100% you told me, or someone of great stature told me, that he was guilty of these accusations, of course I would say for any man to do such a thing should be in prison.
Okay. So the answer here is this. If we ever get enough information, then you may find out something that I suspect, but which I believe anyway, because I believe our courts.
Sure it's not just your hate leading you? Like,
oh,
your hate
no.
Him, your disdain
no.
for him?
Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a courtroom in a trial situation?
I have not, okay. Personally. I don't get into
okay.
trouble.
Well, no. Well, I have been in a court, okay? And the court that I was in, my lawyer stole our radio station. We owned a radio station. And the lawyer stole it. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story, because Michael, who's sitting on here, doesn't even know this story. His dad, my uncle, we were always into all kinds of crazy things, and his dad came up with an idea. His dad said, you know, if that company that owns that station, If they would give you that station and you turned it over to some nonprofit organization, which turned out to be a church, they would get millions of dollars, which they could never sell it for under any normal circumstances, and you guys would have a radio station. And so I went to them with this idea, and they went through it, and they came back and they said, that works. And they gave us the station. So that's how I got the station. So then the next thing that happened was, is that these lawyers who did the work for us, and they were my friends, and so they sort of got into the deal. They, and I won't go into the whole story why, because it's complicated, but they decided they were going to steal the station from us, and they thought they could get away with it because they're attorneys. So we went into a court, and my new attorneys sued these other guys, and they lost. The other guys lost. And here was the problem. The judge would not allow in the information that would allow the jury to understand the true value of the radio station. So, you know, they gave us a couple $100,000, but that was not what it should have been. Now, the judge did the wrong thing. He blocked the evidence.
Evidentiary.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Nothing you can do about it. That's our system. And I walked away, and I said, listen, we were vindicated, but we didn't get everything we wanted. And I was not happy, but at the same time, I knew that that's our system. So I guess what I'm saying to you is I can separate these things out even when it affects me directly. And I'm not just speaking because I hate Donald. I don't hate Donald. I feel sorry for him. He can't tell the truth. He gets himself in trouble all the time and everybody that gets near him. He has failed at everything he's ever done except for the television show, which Mark Burnett is the one that made that television show work. And everything else he's done, casinos and the tie company and the university, which was a fake, and you know, everything that he's done went down the tubes. He had 6 bankruptcies because he's a loser. And so that's why I'm saying I'm just not sure why people listen to this and know what he's done, and they think, well, okay, that's just Donald.
Well, no, I think people tend to it is our nature to want to believe the truth, to want to believe that there's goodness in everyone. And I think that a lot of times people understand that not everything is black and white. There is a lot of gray and things we don't understand. And I also believe that, like with the whole bankruptcy thing, I mean, I don't know, you were a professor previously, or are you still a professor?
Yeah,
or?
Well, yeah,
okay,
I'm a professor.
I don't know what but in business.
Politics, you know, and government.
Okay, so in business, you know, I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that bankruptcy is a bad thing, because a lot of people use bankruptcy as a tool, and not every bankruptcy is, you know, there's different kinds. There's 7, 11, 13, and some are payback.
But this man had 6.
But that is a tool used, especially by a lot of very wealthy people. When a business is going under, the right thing to do is a bankruptcy.
When your business is going under, how come all his businesses go under?
Well, they don't all. He's got plenty of very, very great businesses that do very well.
Well, no, that's not what the people say who have gone through his financials. What they say is that the only thing he's got is that crazy company that he's got, which right now is worth $2 billion. It was worth 10. So it's now worth 2.
Well,
and if it keeps going down, it's going to be worth 0.
Well, unfortunately, you know, he's not made of money. He has to earn his money. And when he was president, you know, he didn't get paid from the country.
Yes, he
and
did.
He
yes, he
put
did.
A lot of his
he took
money
the money. He said he wouldn't, but he took it.
I don't.
Look it up. He took the money.
I'll have to look it up.
Look it up.
As far as I'm concerned, that's not accurate.
He said he wouldn't, but he took it.
And he's entitled to it if he did. That doesn't make him a bad person. But
makes him a liar.
He's put a lot of money into what he's done. And, you know, all these attorneys and quite frankly, I just saw him. He just did a speech today. He brought out a new policy and he was in discussions over the Georgia lawsuits. And they dropped a couple more today.
No. They didn't drop any suits. They dropped three counts, which they did because of what the Supreme Court said. But there are still five serious counts that could put him in jail for the rest of his life.
I firmly believe that he will walk away from it victoriously.
Okay. We'll see.
I think that, and for lack of a better term, these are trumped up charges.
Yeah, right.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
That part's funny.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think we should also maybe talk about how Kamala did on the debate.
Well, you know, I said before the debate that I had seen Kamala speaking in front of various hearings in Washington, D.C., where she was questioning the people in the hearings. And she was a genius in those hearings. And my comment was that what she was going to do in this debate was absolutely going to be right there with what she did in those hearings. And you know what? She did. She was a genius.
But she didn't answer any questions on policy. No. She danced around every one of them.
She has a plan, but did not go into what that plan was.
Well, no, actually, she's got a plan and she's told you what it is.
She's a genius.
No. Listen to what she said. She said $6,000 tax credits for parents that have a child, a brand new child.
Which is higher inflation because taxes are going. Well, I got to pay for that. Got to pay for that.
I'll get to the tariffs in a second. So that's number one. But you said she didn't have a policy, and she did. And here she talked about $50,000 in tax credit for somebody starting a small business. So, okay. But Donald, listen, she had others like that, too. She talked about foreign policy. Donald had nothing. Donald said, look, he said, the health care, we're going to get rid of Obamacare, which is the old story. And then we're going to come up with a new program. And they said, well, do you have a new program? He said, I've got a concept. He says, I'll tell you soon. That's his favorite thing. I'm going to tell you soon. He never tells.
I heard a lot of his policy. I was actually really pleased with his policy. The only policy that I heard Kamala talking about was raising more tax increases. Yeah.
Let's talk about tariffs for a second. So in 1930, 31, the United States government put into effect something called the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. And I always say that everybody that's gone to high school, don't even have to go to college, because everybody that's gone through history learns about the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. You ever heard of them?
I'm sure I have, but I don't.
Yeah, everybody's been taught it. Okay.
It's been about 30 years.
Sure, I get it. and look, you know, for me it's been 50, 60, something like that. And I can't even count anymore. But look, here's the thing. Because of the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, the United States and eventually the entire world went into one of the deepest depressions in history. And everybody says, we sure learned a lesson about tariffs. I guess not. Guess we didn't learn.
They worked well for Trump.
No, they didn't work well for Trump. In fact,
are they still in place?
Some of them are not. And in fact, we went through this on the air yesterday where I played a video that was done by one of the top economic experts, Steve Rattner, if you know who he is, who worked for the government on both sides over in many years. And he put up all the charts and he showed where certain tariffs that were put up were then taken down, and he showed the results on both sides, and the results were horrible for what Donald wants, but Donald keeps saying it. Look, anybody that puts on tariffs, I don't care if it's Joe Biden or if it's Donald Trump, it's stupid.
Okay, I want to ask you one thing real quick because I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
Getting back to the last bit of that debate, the one thing I heard all night long that the moderators actually put Kamala in a corner.
Kamala.
Was when they asked her why she waited 3.5 years till.
I'm sorry, 3.5 years to do what?
Uh-oh, I think we lost him.
She can dance.
Go ahead. 3.5 years to do what? We didn't hear you.
To start doing anything about the border. She waited till right before the election, before they did anything.
No, she couldn't do anything because she was the vice president of the United States.
Oh, come
the
on.
Vice president of the United States has no authority to do a thing.
You don't think Joe Biden must listen to her? I mean, come on.
Well, I can tell you that a majority of the Republican side believe that she's been in control for some time. And I call us conspiracy theorists or not, but regardless, I think that VPs do have some authority. I mean, she has been in the same room with him every day for almost 4 years. You don't think that her ideas came up in the conversations?
Well,
it was all him?
Okay, well, let me say this. And Michael, Jeez, I was going to say it, but Michael said it first. There was a bill that was crafted by Democrats and Republicans.
And we know why it was shot down.
Led by Lankford, Senator Lankford, one of the most conservative senators in the United States Senate, and it was shot down because Donald said, I want to get rid of this thing because I want to win I can use this to win the presidency.
No.
Why was he shot down,
though?
Well,
first of all, he doesn't have that power right now.
No.
He called some friends.
He called some friends.
But we know that's not technically how it works.
Well, sure it is.
The vice president doesn't have the power, but the ex-president does.
If he had that kind of leverage, I don't think he'd be in the position he's in right now with all of this. But I can tell you that we all know how bills work and how there are all these things added in. Oh, we'll do this if you do this.
$100 billion to Ukraine.
I think it was more than that, wasn't it?
And Israel. That's what killed the bill.
That's what killed the bill, in my opinion. And according to what they said.
We passed the bill by itself. Without that bill. I mean, we already passed the bill. We gave them the money. And in fact, Joe Biden today.
In addition to.
Joe Biden said it. No, we gave him all the money that we promised them we were going to give him. And today, Joe Biden said that he is giving the approval for Vladimir Zelensky to start shooting those missiles deep into Russia. What do you think about that?
I don't think that just like the Iraqi war. I don't think we should be doing anything at all.
I don't trust anything.
What should we have done?
Kamala said during her debate that she went over to Turkey and she went to some of those countries as a diplomatic leader to discuss these issues. Failed miserably. The war still happened, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it had worked, they wouldn't be at war, right? And it didn't, but
because Vladimir Putin wants to get the Soviet Union back.
And I don't like him any more than any other American in this country, but I can tell you this. I believe things would be different if President Trump were in charge of those things.
Yeah, I think it would be different. I think it would be different, too. I think Vladimir Zelensky would be in Siberia. And Vladimir Putin would own Ukraine.
I think it never would have started in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's what Donald 100%. Says. That's what Donald says.
Well, we saw 100%. His diplomacy while he was president. Here's a concern for me. You know, I'm all for women in politics.
Okay, 5 seconds.
Okay, but. Are we really going to send a woman to the Middle East to stop war? Are we going to send her to Russia to stop war? Is she really going to be able to do that when they have such disrespect for women?
Well, we're going to find out. Let me say this. We've got the St. Louis Soup Company. We've got Wendy's. We've got Jules on Hampton. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate the two of you. Thank you for being such great sports and coming in with us. We really do love you. And here's the deal. This is Showdown with Amy and Jim. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.
Good night.